Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Amos Perek Tes, the ninth and last chapter of Sefer Amos. Correct, this is the end of the book, all nine chapters. It is not a very long book, it's a very powerful Sefer. So we're going to be learning through this. It's not a very long Perek, but we'll see there's a lot of important ideas that are at stake here. It is 15 psukim long. And it is worthwhile noticing that the second half of this Perek, from psukim Zayin to Tesvav, the second half is in fact the Haftorah of Achremos, sometimes Kedoshim, depending on the permutation of the year. We'll try to think about the connections to that. The first section of this Perek is a description of Hashem standing on the Mizbeach, which is a vision which is from Pasuk Aleph to Vav. In this, he talks about how Amos describes Ra'isi es Hashem, Nitzav al Mizbeach, Hashem is standing on the altar, Vayomer hach hakaftor, Vayirashu hasifim, Uvetzoram barosh kulam. He says, hit the kaftor, which sounds is understood to be the lintel of the door, and that the door posts will crumble, and it will fall down on the heads of everybody, and people will die, people will be killed. And he says very decisively, no one's going to escape. You go down to the depths, I'll bring you up from there. You go up to the heavens, I'll take you down from there. You hide in the Carmel area, I'll take you from there. If you're going to hide in the ground, I'll send the serpent to get you. And if you get taken by your enemies in captivity, I will send my sword against you and you'll get killed there. Very powerful description, sort of the inescapable fate HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing over here. What is the image of Hashem standing on the Mizbeach? So the Barba Nel describes this is Hashem, so to speak, turning to the angel of destruction. And he is pointing to the lintel and the doorposts of the nation that are going to be thrown down. And this refers to the leaders, the leadership of the nation, that which supports the leadership is all going to come crumbling down. What is this whole idea about searching them down and destroying them wherever they are? How does that work? What's going on over here? It doesn't seem to make sense that wherever the Jews will go in Golis, they'll be killed, because in the end of the day, the Jews did survive exile. Many, many died and many perished along the way. But still, the Jews continue to exist. So Abarbanel says, no, what it means is that no Jew will escape the exile. There'll be no Jew who, when the exile comes, will be able to hide in their little place, hide, go to the hills, go to the forests, and be able to escape the terrible destruction which will ensue. All of them will go to Golos. But the ones who go down to Egypt, which he believes is referring to Pasuk Dalet, if they go to Egypt and go in Shavi, in captivity, that Hashem will kill them there. Why? Because as Yirmiyahu predicted to those who defected and went to the land of Egypt after the destruction of the first temple, they will be killed. But the rest of the Golos isn't a promise of destruction, it's rather a promise of exile, the inescapable fate of exile. The next section over here is where the Haftorah starts. It's from Pasuk Zayin onwards to Pasuk Yud Beis. And it starts off with this most incredible description, this most incredible metaphor, which is the topic of so many essays, so many discussions around the topic of the chosenness of Israel. And here's how the sentence goes. Haloi kivnei kushiyim atem li b'nei Yisrael me'um Hashem. Are you not to me, the children of Israel, like the children of Cush? We'll get that in a second. Haloi es Yisrael eleisi meretz Yisrael. Did I not take Israel out of Egypt? Uplishtim mekavtor v'aram mikir. Did I not take the nation of Israel out of Egypt and the Plishtim from the area of Kaftor and the Aram from the area of Kir? Did I not take them all out? And just to understand, before even going into any of the further psukim, what in the world is going on here? What is this description? So Cush happens to be one of the children of the great ancestor Cham. Cham was one of the sons of Noah, so one of the three children on the earth, one of the three men on earth. And he had a descendant whose name was Cush. Cush was actually in the area of south of Egypt, where we have Ethiopia today. And so this is what is being described here. Why are Israel being likened to them? So there are a few ideas, just to focus on three ideas, which are very powerful ideas. Rashi understands that we're looking at this is that you're not so special. Meaning, it's to say that you, Israel, why do you think you're so special to me? You know, I took out the Plishtim from Kaftor and the Armenians from Kir. I took you out of Egypt, but I could just as easily have chosen somebody else. Don't think that you deserve to rest on your accolades because you think you're special. That's number one. So it's really part of the Tochacha. It's still part of the rebuke, which is continuing now. The Radak says a little bit differently. The Radovid Kimchi. He says, you know why they're being compared to Cush? Because Cush were cursed with slavery. The nation of Cush, Ethiopia, was cursed with slavery throughout time. And what Hashem is saying is it's actually Tanchumim. It is actually trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know what? The reason why you've acted the way you have is because you have been slaves. You, Israel, like the people of Cush, have been slaves. You've been tormented, you've been oppressed, you've been persecuted and prosecuted by the nations of the world. That's why you are in such a state. The third and perhaps most powerful of the explanations is based on the Gemara itself. The Gemara itself in Moed Katan Tes Zion says Yisrael, v'chi kushim shmon, halo Yisrael shmon. Really, it's a metaphor for Israel. Why are they being called kushim? Elo, ma kushim mishuneh ba'oro, af Yisrael mishunim b'ma'aseyem mikol ha'umos. The nation of Israel is being compared to the Ethiopians in the sense that the Ethiopians are distinct, at least on a skin deep level. They are different, they appear different because of the color of their skin. So too, the nation of Israel is dramatically different to the rest of the world. And the Malbim goes on to take this approach and explains that many other nations go to exile, but none of them come back. Meaning to say, I have created and constituted different nations, but no nation has ever been punished so finally and ever come back from it unlike you. That means to say it is ultimately Tanchumim, this is now a Nechama, it's comfort for Israel, this prophecy over here. And in fact, this is perhaps the connection to the Haftarah of Parashas Achremos, as Rabbi Gideon Weitzman points out in his book on the Haftarahs. It says, Dabero b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem v'yikra yudches beiz to Gimel. Speak to the nation of Israel v'amarta lehem v'amarta lehem. You should say to them, Ani Hashem elokechem, I'm Hashem your God. K'mas eretz Mitzrayim, asher yeshavtem bo, lo tasu. K'mas eretz Kanan, asher ani mevi'i eschem, shama lo tasu, v'chukosem lo yisaleichu. Because you're special to me, you have responsibilities. You can't act like the rest of the nations. It's because of your uniqueness. That's why you have responsibilities. You have certain moral responsibilities which come with chosenness. And that's what seems to be described over here in the statement. Just closing in this section over here, there's a few other interesting and important descriptions which are described in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who says how he looks at all the nations, and he describes how he says, I'm going to look, Hinei Hashem, my eyes are against the sinning nation, which means to say that, and I'm going to destroy it, which means to say that all the nations which have sinned in the past, in history, all get punishments, but you'll get punishment, but not be destroyed. I'm not going to fully, completely destroy you, even though you may deserve it. And famously, the words he now goes on to describe in the comfort is in Pasuk Yud Aleph is, Bayomahu akim es sukas David anofeles, I'm going to establish the fallen sukkah, the fallen a booth of David, which refers to either the literally the base of Midrash, which is why it is in the Harachaman on Sukkos, which we say on Yom Tov of Sukkos, but it could also mean the lineage of the house of David, which has fallen. Because the entire time while the northern kingdom was under the auspices of Yerovam ben Nevat, all the way to Hoshea ben Elah, and during the second base of Midrash, when the only leadership was actually the Chashmonaim, not from the tribe of Yehuda, and later Herod, not from the tribe of Yehuda, there was this gap. There was this void in the leadership, which should have been from the Shevet of Yehuda. So Barbanel says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to fix up that gap. I'm going to fix that leadership, that ultimately the Messiah, which will come from the chain of David, will return. Finally, the last three psukim in this parak are, Hine yomim ba'imenu Hashem. Hashem promises days which will come. V'nigash, choresh, ba'kotzer, v'dorech, anavim, moshech, hazorah. What a beautiful description of how the plower is going to bump into, the one plower in the field is going to bump into the person who is already harvesting. It's going to be season to season, bumper crop after bumper crop. It's going to be so successful. There's going to be this abundance. There's going to be this salvation in the land, in the fields of the land, the mountains of the land. Everybody's going to eat their fruit. I'll replant you in the land. Nobody will be able to take you away from there. So on the one hand, it may be just simply that the book is starting and ending like Yoel did. Sefer Yoel started talking about the roar of the lion and ended with this notion of the return of the prosperity to the land of Israel. And it seems like Amos is following suit to Yoel. He's starting off with the roar of the lion and the terrifying prophecies of destruction, but at the same time ending with his blessing of resurgence in the agriculture of Israel. But the Radak says it could be more than that. That's simply the agriculture or the metaphor for Israel. And like the agriculture will return to the fields, to the leaves, to the deserts of Israel, then ultimately Israel will return to its land and be planted there eternally. It is worthwhile thinking and food for further thought as to whether this was given as a continued prophecy in the words of Amos, at the end of all his prophecies of warning and rebuke, or whether this came at a later point in his life where he wanted to give them consolation about the future times. Food for thought, no way to clearly resolve that, but nonetheless something which we all hope for, to see this prophecy come to fruition. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.